Think for us as believers in our own conscience, in our minds, how God has not only spoken to our hearts that He's washing our minds by the Word of God, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit seals our conscience with His Word so that we can put on the mind of Christ Jesus.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, it's good to have you with us for our continuing series in 1 Peter. Today, Roel will encourage us to allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify and transform us as we carry out God's perfect plans. Even if you're reviled for your obedience to the Lord, you'll find that He can give you the strength to continue and the grace to respond with love. Stay with us to consider Jesus' example of trusting submission. Now with today's lesson, here's Roel Reese.
So as we're returning now to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 now, we begin to see here that in these verses, we now have an introduction about the importance of those spiritual principles of those people that feared the Lord and that they conquered their fears by putting their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're going through tonight. But it could be something that has really put fear in your heart. And it's making you really doubt God and His Word. And yet you can feel safe tonight by being in the presence of the Lord and understanding that we need to remind ourselves every single day, even as Peter reminded himself every day, that he was writing to a suffering church. A church that was suffering. And Peter knew that sooner or later he would suffer too. In his first observation here in verse 16, Peter is recognizing that it is vitally important for believers or Christians to have a clear conscience if he or she is to be used by God effectively. In what? In sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. Did you know that the conscience is a very important thing to understand and to know in your own personal life? Because as Peter now writes in verse 16, he says, having a good conscience, comma, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good manner of life in Christ may be ashamed. Wow. That is heavy what he's saying there. I mean, Peter was just a fisherman and he blows me away. The knowledge and the way he writes his epistle, the way he writes from the heart. The word having here in our English word, to the literal, it means to keep. It carries the idea of possessing or maintaining a good conscience, not feeling guilty. What's the first thing that Satan does? He brings guilt to your life. And yet our conscience has been healed by the Holy Spirit. Think of how many people don't have a conscience today. When I was thinking of the conscience, because psychologists really play a big role in the conscience. When you take psychology, they talk a lot about the conscience. And you think about the conscience in the days of Noah, when Noah was given a message by God that God was going to bring destruction upon the earth, and that His Spirit will not always strive with men, but that at the end of that generation, think about that, the end would come. God would bring His judgment. And the reason is because their conscience were depraved. They didn't feel guilty. Think of how many people today that are sinning against God. They do, I mean, like the homosexuals today. They don't feel any guilt. Their conscience has been hardened. Lesbians. drunkards, liars, fornicators, adulterers. I mean, that's the reason that the Holy Spirit has been given for the last 1900 years, so that the Holy Spirit can touch our conscience. But if you forbid the Holy Spirit to really come into your life and to bring conviction to your life, then if there is no conviction, then something is wrong with your conscience. It's become hardened. Yet as a Christian during the time of Peter, and even today, Peter was calling Christians to have a good conscience just in case they were going to be prosecuted. So that when they would stand before Caesar Nero, nothing of guilt would be before their lives, and they would say, yes, I am a Christian, and not be ashamed to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. According to Paul the Apostle in the book of Hebrews 13:18, he says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. I like that. To live honorably without shame. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a believer. I'm not ashamed of it. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said that. And so it's really important that we understand that our conscience is purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross and he died on the cross, his blood has given me a pure conscience. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God? Not like the world serves gods of wood and gold and silver, and they have all these different gods that they serve, but they're not real gods. The only thing about those gods is they're possessed by demonology. The spirit realm, demons, possess those gods. The Bible says that what? That the one that says there is no God, he is a fool. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Psalm 53:1. He's a fool. And yet according to Hebrews chapter 10:2, he says, for then would they have had to cease to be offered, for the worshipers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I love that. You see, we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And what's the pure water? The pure water is the Word of God today to us. That's why I tell you, read the Bible, study the Bible. The way to read the Bible is really important because, you know, you have 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. And if you're reading systematically through the Bible, we have 31 days in a month, sometimes 30 days in a month. There's 31 Proverbs. You should read a proverb every morning. And if you're going to go to bed at night, read the Psalms. 150 songs that you can read and bring comfort to your life. And what are you doing? You're putting the Word of God in your mind, and your conscience will be pure, undefiled. Because the whole day, man, is being defiled by the things that we see, by the things that we hear. And yet it is really of importance that we understand that the Christian does not have the option of living a double life or a secret life. We have no option to do that. We need to be honest. We need to be true. We need to stand upon God's word and say, this is who I am. And yes, we are going to blow it many times. We're not perfect people. The devil knows how to get you in your weaknesses. And then at the same time, when you think of everything that every person does every single day of their lives, every single day for 365 days in a year, Think for us as believers in our own conscience, in our own minds. How God has not only spoken to our hearts that He's washing our minds by the Word of God, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit seals our conscience with His Word so that we can put on the mind of Christ Jesus. And then what does He say in that scripture? Notice again, as He goes back there in verse 16. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as an evildoer. Think of how many people accuse you every day, whether you do it or not. And who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. And yet we're living in a world that is imperfect. And get this, you are going to be defamed every day by a lot of people, including family. But should that make you retaliate against them? No. No way.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to access our full range of faith-building resources. You can also email Roel for a personal response to your Bible questions and prayer needs. His address is PastorRoel@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more from 1 Peter.
Look what he says. Those who revile your good conduct. Your good conduct means the way you live in Christ may be what? A shame. Why should it be a shame? Because I don't retaliate. I pour my love upon them. I make sure my heart's right. So that I can stand before God and stand before them without shame. You see, to be sanctified, when he talks about sanctify the Lord in our hearts, it means to be possessed myself by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to possess my life. He has to be in charge. Not you. Not me. It has to be the Lord. The Lord has to be in charge of my life. According to Romans chapter 15, 16, Paul says that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, notice, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. To be set apart by the Holy Spirit, which means what? The Holy Spirit has control of my life, my mind, and my conscience. He controls my life. And the Holy Spirit is the one that maintains us. And that keeps us and watches over us. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. From the foundations of the world. 1 Peter 1:2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Holy Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The Spirit and the flesh are what? Are opposed to one another. They don't fit in the same place. That's why we get convicted. The Holy Spirit in our lives dominates. And if really true believers in Jesus Christ, and when Peter was talking to these people, they were going to be prosecuted, persecuted, and they were being attacked mentally by Satan. And many of them were fearful of what was going to happen to them. But yet God brings assurance to us that we are set apart for Him and that we need to speak truth and that people are going to persecute us and they're going to prosecute us and they're going to be defaming you and your character. What do? We don't retaliate. We love and we forgive. That's the hardest thing to do, man. I'm telling you by experience. It is hard. And yet, this is what God intends to do in our lives. Romans chapter 8, 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit of God and the things of the Holy Spirit. You see, one cannot walk honestly before God and others and with a clear conscience unless what? Unless he or she forsakes the works of the flesh and walks by the Holy Spirit of God. There's no way. Yeah, we got to live in an imperfect world. We are living in this world that is imperfect. And at the same time, we're body, soul, and spirit when we come to Christ. The spirit and the soul now rule and the flesh is dead. So you really need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is a person. And the word to grieve in Ephesians 4:30, it says that the Holy Spirit, when he gets grieved, you bring pain to the Holy Spirit of God. He gets hurt. He gets bummed. He cannot do his effective work in your life and in my life when there is sin in my life, or there's bitterness in my life, or there's unforgiveness in my life. So we need to walk honestly before God and others so that we can have a clear conscience before them and before God. That's why Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, he writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, he says, I say then, walk by the Holy Spirit of God, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you would not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit of God, then you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, which means wild parties, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in times past, that those, check this out, that those who are continually practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. That's heavy. Now remember, in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, who's he talking to? Israel. From Matthew to Revelation, who's he talking to? The church. Not the non-believers. The whole Bible is for what? The church. For believers. For Israel and the church. So it's really important that we take counsel here, because in practical terms here, Peter refers to what? To us having a clear conscience in relationship to our Master, Jesus Christ, and to God himself. Place what? My relationship with him. If my relationship with God is good, it will be good with other people too. But if it's not good with God, it won't be good with other people. That's just the bottom line. To have a clear conscience requires having what? Our sins totally forgiven by our Savior Jesus Christ, completely and fully. To be clear literally means to be what? To be forgiven by God. Fully, completely. Remember Psalm 32:1, David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then 1 John 2:12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Wow. Amazing, Peter. The way he writes to each one of us individually, in our behavior, in our conscience, how it has to be clear, because we're not what? We are not condemned. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. We don't walk any longer according to the flesh, but we are ruled by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the bottom line. Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins once and for all. Secondly, notice the second observation in verse 17. Paul now is going to focus upon the challenge of suffering and doing good. He says, suffering for doing good may what? May be God's will for your life. Yes, it's God's will for your life. I mean, a lot of times people get bummed out because they say, why me? Why not somebody else? Well, why not you? And why not somebody else? I mean, if God is for us, then who can be against us? One of the famous writers of Crosby, I was reading her autobiography this morning. She wrote over 8,000 poems and songs. And she was in the 1800s. and she had an eye infection that went to the doctor, and the doctor did not do proper surgery on her, and she became blind. And then when she grew up, she tells a story because somebody said to her, it's too bad that you were blind all your life and that accident happened. And she says, no. He said, blessed be the Lord that he made me blind. Otherwise, I would have probably never written 8,000 poems. In our weakness, we become strong. Think about that. Paul the Apostle had a thorn in his flesh for the rest of his life that kept him humble. We all have some type of a thorn in our lives. Why? Because suffering for doing good is sometimes God's perfect will for my life. He uses other people to mistreat me and to do things to keep me humble and for God to use my life even in a greater way as I don't become revengeful, but I forgive them. Then I open my heart to him. Check this out, verse 17, 1 Peter 3. He says, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Notice that. What's my first instance when somebody is coming against me? I want to get even. And yet doing the will of God is not always easy, but it's what? It's always the best thing to do according to God's word. And this is the reason that we do what is right and good, never, never compromising. Never, ever compromising. And I'm talking to myself tonight too. We cannot compromise. The will of God, think about this, the will of God was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Imagine out of all eternity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father decided to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. To do what? To fulfill his will. And what was his will? To save people like you and me by him going to the cross and dying. And then rising the third day and then 40 days later going back to heaven.
Jesus' example in Gethsemane shows that there's certainly no shame in honoring God with obedience, even if we face criticism or hostility as a result. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is available to you in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. To get your copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. When you contact us, mention today's study from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Now, to help strengthen you on your own spiritual journey, we'd like to tell you about this entire study of 1 Peter. Rawl's 42-part series is available on both CD and USB, with each lesson illuminating what it looks like to live for God without shame, fear, or compromise. You'll find that when you fully trust the Lord as Jesus did, you can carry out mighty kingdom-building work. To order Rawl's 42-lesson 1 Peter series, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $63 or the thumb drive for just $42. That's 800-634-9165. To order this resource or any other resources, you can write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. The Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel features live-streamed Bible teaching and podcasts of all previously aired programs. You can also join Rawl for Straight Talk on that channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Plus, our complete library of podcasts is available on iTunes and Spotify. We're thankful for your partnership. Your tax-deductible gifts help us keep sharing the good news of the gospel. Well, we invite you to join us again next time as we return to 1 Peter for more motivational guidance in dealing with opposition to our faith. You'll get a challenge to boldly share the gospel regardless of the response. Here's Rawl once again with the closing comment.
Remember what Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was there with the disciples and they were kind of tired and they were kind of sleepy, and the Lord told them to watch, but they fell asleep. And then all of a sudden, the Lord went over to pray one time. He prayed the second time. And the third time he prayed, he was sweating blood out of his pores. And he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If you want me to go to the cross, I will go. And once Jesus submitted himself to the cross, then everything changed. Remember the psalmist declares, Psalm 48, he says, David, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Matthew 26, 42, again a second time, Jesus in the garden, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup can pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done. If there's any other way, Father, show me. If not, if this is the way, then I want to do it.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.